This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Kick off hour number three of the program.
Starts pumping out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping, folks like me on the job from nine.
Supposed to be Optimism Tuesday. We're doing our best.
We're not being negative about the team, which is optimism in my eyes.
It's hard to be negative about this team. I mean, individual plays maybe, but when the effort's this good and the coaching seems to be, it is year one, but I mean, better than anything we've seen in a long time. They give effort. They know what they're doing. Thought we tried to run the ball a little too much at times on Saturday night, but I mean, well, that's a team that's given up a lot of yardage on the ground.
It's that classic debate of, you know, did we not try some things because we're just not good enough to execute them? Like, for example, you know, stopping the quarterback draw and the swing pass on third down. I mean, yeah, you could bring the house, and that's going to stop the quarterback draw. But if Corral gets it out into space and then you miss a tackle, it's going to be a house call. So you're going to need more data to really determine it. You know, it's a little bit of both. I think Lane Kiffin did call a really good game against the Tennessee defense, and they were probably out-schemed at times, but they were also just kind of outmanned at times as well. And when you take that game as a whole, it's hard to criticize. I kind of wish I've watched that, you know, late, that 4th and 20 whatever play a gazillion times to look for the spot. But part of me is just annoyed that Jacob Warren didn't just
keep his feet.
Yeah, like there's no real reason for him to start falling as he caught that football.
I think he knew he was short when he caught it, so he tried to just get low and kind of grind forward, and there just happened to be a guy there that he ran into. But if
he just stumbled.
Yeah, he just stumbled catching the football. I think after he started to stumble, though, he was like, you know, kind of trying to lunge for it, obviously, but
yep.
It was just kind of one of those things. I mean, you're not going to – I don't know if anybody cares, but I actually thought – as soon as Tennessee, and the clock was running, so it would have been a weird look, and I don't know if you get booed, or you probably just get a tension response from the fans. But I actually think as soon as Tennessee, the third down play ended, you should have run the punt team out. I was telling the people I was with, as soon as it went down, it was fourth and what, 22?
24 or 27,
24,
yeah.
Fourth and 24.
What, yeah, it was third and 27. No, sorry, second and 27, then third and 24.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's third and 24, play ends, it's now fourth and 24. Clock is running, but we have been talking about, hey, Tennessee has all three timeouts. Don't use one of these timeouts on offense, because if you do, and then you lose the football, the game is over. So keep all your it's imperative. Really good coaches try and keep all three timeouts in the second half for that exact reason. Because once you give the ball back, I mean, Tennessee has lost games like this before. Once you get like when Josh Dobbs ran it, or when they ran it three times at Florida and allowed for the 4th and 14 play. When you have three timeouts, you can go timeout, 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 and obviously, the great thing is you can stop it on every single play.
Yeah.
But what really happens is typically the team tries to run it on first and second down.
So that you'll waste your timeouts.
Right.
Yeah.
And it
they
makes
play
it
a
really,
game within a game.
It makes it really easy to stop them because you don't really have to worry about a throw at all unless they really want to roll the dice. And if they roll the dice and try and throw it, well, A, they can throw it incomplete, which stops the clock for you. Or B, like, that's your best chance for something really bad to happen with a tip ball or, you know, any
sack.
Yeah. Whatever. And so really what happened where we're short on the play, it kind of turned into a 21 and a half yard punt. and set us up, you know. But if you had actually run the punt team out there and just kicked it, you're going to have them backed up even more, and the same thing's probably going to happen. I also have no idea why Lane Kiffin didn't bootleg Matt Corral, like, out from under center like he had done on some of those previous plays, because that way he could have run, he could have thrown it, got the first down into the game at some point, or just, you know, if nothing's there, he could still just run it. It takes a lot of time, and he's still in the field to play. But Tennessee, that set of downs was horrific for Ole Miss. If they'd lost that game, Ole Miss fans would be killing Lane Kiffin. Like, why do you have Matt Corral running way out here, tripping and falling? I mean, he could have fumbled on that. Like, play calling was atrocious right there. I mean, and then Tennessee executed a great punt return to get in position, and you know the rest of the story. But going for it is the win percentage on punting right there with the clock running, which would have bled a little more time, actually. But you would have had them further backed up when they punt to you, or just going for it because you almost got it.
Yeah,
it's probably pretty even. You know, it's probably pretty much an even decision there. So I don't blame. I think Heupel made one of the correct calls. And if Warren keeps his feet, he gets the first down, and you know, maybe you just go in and win it right there with a healthy, you know, Hendon Hooker on that drive. You have plenty of time at that point, and still all three timeouts, of course. But that's the way it goes. To the G3 Help Me Hotlines, we got Berto up next. What's up, Berto?
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, what's up, bud?
It's Optimism Tuesday. So I'm going to hopefully inject a modicum of optimism. Thanks to your Titans, boys. They won me some units last night.
There you go.
The money line early after they went down. I'm like, how are they only down less than a touchdown, and I'm getting free money here? So there's some positivity. Houston, I got my pumpkin spice this morning. How you feeling about pumpkin spice season? Are we in? Are we fully immersed?
Buddy, we've been in since August. It comes earlier and earlier every year.
Every year, baby. It's like Christmas. Christmas starts in my house in about a week and a half.
Wow.
What about you guys?
I'm a post-Thanksgiving guy, but do what you do.
If you had kids, would you be post-Halloween?
I don't know. As a kid, when all the things Christmas decorations would come out early, it always felt closer than it was. So I was like, I feel like I had to wait longer because all the Christmas stuff was out.
Mm.
That's just me,
though. I didn't think about that. That's fair. Nate, where do you fall on that?
What's the question again?
Oh, come on, man. Christmas. When does Christmas start?
It's all with listening skills, Nathaniel.
I love Thanksgiving. Christmas doesn't start till after Thanksgiving.
Okay, that's fair. Guys, as far as the team is concerned, I want to address one thing in regard to the game. There are so many. Facebook is just a dearth of idiocy, right? But I was one of the people that didn't throw anything. You guys were there, right? Did you guys throw anything? Houston, you weren't. But did you guys throw anything?
I did not throw anything. We were on the west side. I only saw one thing kind of fly by us from somewhere up above, and I actually didn't see anyone throw anything even around me.
Okay, I did, and let me tell you who it was. It wasn't who you'd think. Okay? I said this yesterday, and people kind of chuckled, but it's true. It was the recruits. The recruits are throwing stuff, too.
Wow.
They sit right in front of me. I'm less than 15 rows behind them. And their families were booing. Everybody knew we were getting screwed. Everybody, including the recruits. That's the dirty little secret. That's why nobody's talking about it. That's why Josh Heupel didn't condemn it at all yesterday. It's because the recruits are doing it too. And it's okay. I'm not saying that the actions at the end of all that are okay, but like people were really pissed. And you cannot say me, Nate, and other people that were at the game that didn't do that, and we just sat on our hands and waited and waited and waited, are the reason, and we deserve to lose. Anybody that says we deserve to lose is just so full of crap. I don't know what to do about myself. There was probably 102,000 people in there that didn't do anything. And it's just not right. It's not right to say that. You know, I know you guys have beat that to death. But here's the deal. Hendon Hooker's probably not as hurt as badly as we think. It's probably a strain, right? At this point, it's a hammy strain and maybe like an MCL issue. Is that where we're at? I think.
Seems like it. If Heupel's being honest, he said he didn't think it was a long-term issue.
I couldn't believe that. When that comes out of his mouth, that made me have a lot more confidence. You know, guys, our only three losses this year, this is, okay, this is so sheepy, but our only three losses are to really pretty good football teams. Do you guys all agree with that? Who have been ranked or are currently ranked, right?
Yeah, I think we caught Florida right before they failed miserably and tailed off.
I don't think they're really good football teams. I like the optimistic take that we could have beaten Pittsburgh and Florida.
That's where I'm going, mate. I'm sorry. That's where I was going. They're good football teams that we could have beaten.
Yeah, yeah. They're solid.
I've seen a lot of Florida
fans. Hanging in.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, I was just talking about, I've seen a lot of Florida fans on the interweb here lately talking about it's a good thing we played Tennessee a month earlier because they're going to be terrified to play us now.
So my cousin played at Florida. He called me the other day and said the same thing. He's like, God, if we played y'all like we did a couple years ago right now, you would pound our eyes shut. And I was like, I know. But the optimism is we're doing exactly, do you remember preseason when we were all chatting about record and what we want to see out of the season? Nate, I remember you specifically, like, I'd really like to go 6-6, make a bowl, and be competitive in every game.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the weird end of Florida where I just felt like we were just totally gassed and we could not stop Emory Jones.
Yeah.
We've been competitive in every game. We've competed against teams we really should. I mean, Ole Miss, if you told me August the 28th that Ole Miss, we would have a fingertip on third down, if we catch it, we win, with basically no time on the clock, I would have said, and what's our record? And you said 3-4 after, or 4-3 after that game. I'd have been like, oh, okay, I'll take that right now. And I think everybody in this fan base, which is why I think there's so much optimism. We need to get Hendon Hooker healthy. And more specifically, we have to get Tyon Evans healthy.
Yep.
He is the, I don't know what it is. He's the jet fuel in the engine that drives the offense. I know everybody thinks it's Hooker, and he does command the offense, but the jet fuel to make it really go is Tyon Evans. And until he's healthy, it's pretty clear that he's the best player on our team, because every time he's out, we just can't seem to function correctly in the run game. He makes up for a lot of negativity along the offensive line, no matter, you know, if they're hurt or not. His abilities just overshadow all those things. He's got to be healthy. And, hey, can we give our boy Bryce a little bit of Duke? I'm not saying you guys did this, but a lot of people murdered him for it coming out saying that he was highly doubtful or not playing on Saturday, yet I didn't see him on the field one snap. Take care.
Yep, John Bryce nailed it.
Sort of.
Hmm?
Well,
I mean, he didn't play.
Bryce reported that the source said he was going to be likely out. So I'm not really mad at Bryce. I'm kind of upset at BIR, whoever crafted the tweet that said he's out, because he wasn't out. He tried to give it a go before, like in pre-warmups, basically, and he was still trying to give it a go as of Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So
I heard he did rehab all night. He didn't stay at the team hotel. I think he might have slept in the training room, trying to get the ankle, you know, back. Tried to give it a go, and it just wasn't happening.
So I mean, it was. I don't know. I mean, they were both. All the guys.
Look, if he's dinged up, I'm not playing him this week either. Because I think.
You shouldn't play anybody this week that's dinged up.
I know. I just think you got to get as many people 100% over the next 3 weeks and then go into Kentucky as full strength as possible.
I feel like I'm forgetting a game, but I'm not, right? I mean, there's just the two we got to win. There's the two we're not going to win. And then there's Kentucky. Right?
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
That's all that's left.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What do you think that line will be in the Kentucky game?
Them at home.
You don't think over a touchdown, do you?
Not over a touchdown.
No? I mean, it might be just on their side, just barely. It might be like 7.5, maybe.
I was thinking five or 6.5. What do you think, Dave? Does that sound about right? 5.5, 6.5?
I think they'll set it right at 7 to open.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same spot then. I would say 5.5 to 7.5.
Probably depends on who we can get healthy, too. Well, if Kay, Cooper, Tyon, and Hendon are ready to go, we might be all right.
The way that is contingent on the quarterback play. And, I mean, if Hendon's not able to go and Milton looked like woof this week. I know it's Alabama. But
well, who's Kentucky got in 2 weeks?
Mississippi State.
State.
Okay. So that's a good kind of litmus game for them, too, where the
sure.
books will readjust kind of how they're playing in the moment.
Where is that game?
I think it's
got to be on the road, right?
They've done is played at home.
Except for the Georgia game. And then they play us at home. That's got to be Cowbells, I would think. Could be wrong, though.
We'll check that.
Come back. Hour three continues. I do think the health of the football team will determine, you know, kind of what you can expect the rest of the way. But I don't know. That's the nice thing about a kind of a non-pressure year one. You know, it's like, yeah, it'd been great to have beaten Ole Miss. It'd been a cool moment. It'd been a way for Tennessee fans to say, like, eat Lane Kiffin in year two is not even that. You know, we're already kind of, you know, past you or even with you already in year one, and we're only going to get better, yada, yada. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're always going to judge this season on just how well does it set you up for the next season.
Yeah.
That's the way all year ones are. You never go into a year one saying, we're going to win a championship, unless you lost your coach the year before because he was so good that you were kind of already winning one. And that typically doesn't happen at a place like Tennessee. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Do we want to get into some of the other games from the weekend?
Or? Sure, yeah.
I mean, it's Optimism Tuesday, so how about the Florida Gators? I know they beat us a while back, but like you guys were saying last segment, I mean, even their fans are admitting that they suck right now and that if we played that game again, I think at the time we thought the first half where Tennessee was beating them and then in it and right there, it almost felt kind of fluky at the moment, but maybe that was just the way the game could have gone for four quarters if we play a little better, they play a little worse, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, A, frustrating for now, but again, as you look forward, that's a pretty good sign. It's a good sign that these teams that we kind of feel are pretty invincible in the moment really aren't. It really doesn't take that much to be in games with them. I mean, LSU hadn't been able to run the ball all year.
No.
And they just ran it down Florida's throat. Even when they knew it was coming. It was incredible.
I mean, you saw some weaknesses in Florida's run defense when we played them. But, like you said, LSU hadn't done that all season long.
I mean, the stat.
I picked Florida to cover this because I thought, because it felt to me like Orgeron was out at the end of the season no matter what. Then, obviously, the announcement comes after this game, which is strange. But
that's all a weird thing, too.
Normally, that happens. The team kind of, I don't want to say folds, but, I mean, Kayshawn Boutte out for the year. They've lost some other guys.
They have a bunch of guys.
Then they just came out and handed it off a ton. And, well, not bad. Not bad at all. I've been told by my Florida buddy that he is predicting that Dan Mullen survives this year, loses in Knoxville next year, and that is how the Dan Mullen era will end.
A lot of people were talking about, do you think he'd be fired this year? And my first thought was, not this year, but it feels like by the end of next year, that might be the moment, which would line up with what he's saying.
I mean, do they have a coach that could possibly come open? I mean, you kind of saw that with South Carolina and Georgia. Georgia wasn't necessarily going to fire Mark Richt, but once they found out that South Carolina was likely going to pull Kirby Smart, they made the move. Is there anybody like that that could be on Florida's radar? And they're just like, damn, if this continues to go, like, we just got to – because, I mean, they, like, I'll give them credit. Like, they've always been good at pulling the trigger whenever they need to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like the opposite of us in that regard.
Chadwell.
If he goes undefeated,
I mean, he plays tomorrow night.
They got App State tomorrow night. That's their most likely game to lose the rest of the way.
App State looked bad last weekend,
but
I think it was last
weekend. Is that enough to be like? It's not enough to be that guy. I feel like he still would be a fallback option for LSU or Florida. Obviously, he's not going to be like top of the list. But I don't know. But you know how this goes. Everybody wants to fire their coach, and then after you fire him, you're like, wait, who, we can't get that guy? Oh, who's left? Like, who can, you know, and you end up with this crop of guys who all seem okay, but they're all kind of square peg round hole. And then, I mean, it's been a weird year. It's not like there's a lot of, some of these teams that were highly ranked kind of have some older coaches that aren't going to be a hot commodity, you know? If Iowa had a young coach who was 2 or 3 years in that tenure and had them undefeated before last week, he'd be the guy, right? He'd be on everybody's radar to, like, jump and move. Or, I mean, I just feel like there's not a lot of those guys at the moment. I mean, the odds came out for LSU's coach, and, I mean, Lane Kiffin was, like, the second best option on the odds, second best favorite. I don't even remember who was – I mean, Napier was near the top, and he's kind of – I mean, he's in the same boat as Jamie Chadwell. They're the exact same level. He just has more of a – some more past ties to big-time football.
Yep. Well, isn't that what – I'm trying to think.
Urban Meyer back to Florida.
Short commute from where he's at.
Maybe get just
well, I've heard that's
teams.
One of the reasons Southern Cal's been struggling is a lot of these coaches who are looking to move are waiting to see if the LSU job comes up. But obviously now it has.
Now it has, and they can.
But the question, I mean, if for whatever reason, like if Florida just tanks the rest of the way, which is really weird how that seems to happen to them lately. With coaches not named Urban, the guys have a really good year one or year two, and then all of a sudden the wheels fall off and you just can't quite figure it out. It just disintegrates right in front of them.
Well, it's, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's always been kind of a front-running program. But when they had Urban and then Spurrier before that, they would kind of front-run the seasons, right? They would either have a great season or it would just melt down. There was nothing in between. And the last couple of guys, it feels like they kind of rah-rah their dudes to get them ready for the early part.
Mm-hmm.
They usually play a ton of bad teams early, so that helps. But then once, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Mullen was right there last year. They just fell apart literally like right at the end of the season.
Yeah, the thrown shoe cost them the chance.
How bad does it have to get this year for a move to be made? Because obviously they're going to lose to Georgia next week. That'll put them at 4-4. And then they got Florida State, Missouri, Samford, and somebody else, South Carolina, to close the season.
I mean, that schedule's pretty easy. That's why I think he'll definitely survive this year. But the schedule being easy does set up the opportunity for losing a couple just, oh my gosh, what's happening games, and
right,
that could do it. Maybe at least lose two more games, not name Georgia out of that terrible slate. But I don't know. Is it Luke Fickell? I mean, Cincinnati's number 2 in the country in the AP poll. Is he just going to be – is this the year, even whether he makes the playoff or not, is this his last one?
Fickell would be an interesting one.
I don't see him going south.
No?
No.
West?
I mean, he's a Cincinnati. He's an Ohio guy. Not Midwest. Like, I mean,
so
if
he
another,
wants the Big Ten job.
Well, so was Urban.
I'm just telling you, from people that followed him for a long time, they don't think he would necessarily do well if he were to move to the south.
Does he care? That doesn't mean they won't hire him and offer him a ton of money.
Do you want to coach another year at Cincinnati, or would you rather be the head coach at LSU or USC or Florida? I mean, at some point, like...
Right now, if they went out, do they make the playoff?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think the win over Notre Dame would get them in. Because you can say, yeah, they weren't tested a bunch.
They might drop to the 4 seed, but you already got these... I mean, there hasn't been many years where Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson all have losses before the first playoff poll comes out. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Georgia is going to most likely play Alabama at some point, you know, in the SEC championship game, obviously. And there's a chance either Alabama's going to get their second loss, which would keep them behind Cincinnati, I would think, or Georgia's going to get their first loss, and it's going to be a mess. Like, I don't know. It's going to be crazy. And I'm still not out on – I still don't think, you know, Florida – it would not shock me at all. Florida somehow backs against the wall, Anthony Richardson a little more comfortable at quarterback, and they beat Georgia in the cocktail party.
Like, oh, no, that wouldn't shock me either. Because has Georgia really faced a super mobile guy yet?
I mean, their schedule's been pretty easy now that you look at it. Now that Clemson – you know, Clemson sucks. You know, like that was always
true.
Man,
yeah.
Georgia's been so good this year, but really – you know, they don't – they're going to play Auburn later in the year. We'll see if Auburn can actually, you know, show up for that game. They probably won't. No, I'm sorry. They beat Auburn. That was last week. So that – I mean, they're not going to face – the rest of their schedule's a joke. If Georgia gets by Florida, like, it's – their next toughest test is coming here.
Cincinnati has one ranked opponent. It's SMU.
One left, yeah. What is SMU? Are they still undefeated?
Yeah, they're 6-0.
That'll help them.
What are they ranked right now?
21st.
When do they play?
11-20.
Late. Month from now.
So if they stay undefeated, that's a big, or you know, even if they have one loss, that's a really big game for Cincinnati late in the year where people would be watching it.
Big games for Cincinnati coming up are Notre Dame against USC, Notre Dame against North Carolina, Notre Dame at Virginia, because they need the Fighting Irish to keep winning.
Yep. No, that's true. That's still only Notre Dame's first loss, right?
Right, they're 13th.
Three of Cincinnati's next four opponents are 1-5 on the year.
Sorry, what?
Three of Cincinnati's next four opponents are all 1-5.
Yeah, their schedule's a joke. During this,
are they all, are those conference games?
Navy is not. That's who they play this weekend. They're 27.5-point favorite over them.
Does LSU bring Dave Aranda back if Baylor keeps, you know, ends up with a good season this year?
That wouldn't be a crazy move. You could get them obviously a lot cheaper.
Really, well, what was really all you need at LSU is a guy that can just manage the culture
and recruit. But it's pretty easy at LSU. I'm just saying you can't be a guy that scares people away.
Yeah.
Aranda might work. He's been there.
If he gets a good offensive guy. I don't know who he has at Baylor. And I don't think they were that – I mean, they haven't shown much until this year, right?
No.
Was this year 3-2? I can't remember.
2 or 3.
It's year 2.
Year 2.
How about Ogeron, though, man? Was he getting $18 million to walk away? Was 17 or 18?
So they were hashing out this deal as his team is over here prepping for Florida. They win the game, and he's – that's just – only Ed Ogeron could do this kind of stuff.
It is impressive.
Yeah.
And he's going to finish out the year, right?
Yeah. Why not?
Wow.
But it lets everybody know the job's open, so now all the LSU cronies can, you know, work the all the angles.
I mean, obviously, if it's LSU, and again, I don't think it'll be Florida, but if it's LSU, Florida, and Southern Cal, what's your ranking for those jobs?
Ooh.
If you're Florida, you really only got one big competition piece. Like,
are you asking I'm the coach?
Yeah, you're the best coach in the country. Okay. You're looking to make a move. Florida calls, LSU calls.
Normally, I would say LSU.
I'm worried about all the other stuff that might be coming out to make it really hard.
But I almost rather would just play in the East, yeah.
Yeah, I
go Florida, LSU, USC. USC,
like, Georgia, obviously, their defense is amazing this year. Their offense doesn't scare you. Like, and they're probably going to lose, I don't know what their senior, junior lineup is on the 22 deep for defense, because that's about how deep they go. But I'm assuming they're going to lose a bunch of those guys. It'd absolutely be Florida for
me. It's interesting that those teams play every year, too. So, like, you got to think, okay, I need to pick the right program, because I'm going to have to beat the other guy that comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I just think it's going to be – I think it'd be easier. There's just not as much off-the-field junk that comes with it at Florida right now. And LSU with all the
– like, Florida has better leadership, right, in the athletic department.
Yeah.
That might be the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Although I think it'd be really cool to be the head coach of LSU.
It'd be something. I think culture's a bigger fit at LSU – than Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think if you go to LSU and don't understand the culture of Tiger fans, you're done. Florida, if you put up points and win, you're going to be fine no matter who you are. I just think it's a little bit different at LSU, and I think I'd lean towards Florida. They're a more sophisticated fan base. Just do your job and win, and they're going to be happy. Cover the spread.
I think the run you out of town factor is the same at each. It's pretty much a tie. You're not winning.
I think the run you out of town factor is a little higher at Florida.
Maybe, but it's close, right? I mean, you lose at either one of
those
places.
But it's definitely higher now at LSU because they won the Natty, so now they got the taste of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't believe they gave Orsron that much money in the extension, though. Who could have seen this coming? Oh, everybody.
I'd pay $20 million for a national championship.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, but you could have paid less.
Right. People weren't beating down the door for Orgeron.
Welcome back to Three and Out. Tuesday edition of the program. Florida's in disarray. Georgia rolled over Kentucky 30-13. We talked about that game just a bit. I mean, just Georgia's just better than those teams. Obviously, you know, Kentucky's going to become a big talking point for Tennessee after the game this Saturday, as you'll have 2 weeks to look forward to that one as Tennessee comes off the bye week and tries to get itself together there. You know, Kentucky's working on a nice little season. It'll be nice to, you know, they travel to Mississippi State in 2 weeks when Tennessee's on bye on the Halloween Eve for a 7 o'clock kickoff on SEC Network. So that game will kind of shape how we think of Kentucky as they play Tennessee. But the thing about it is, if they win at Mississippi State, Tennessee is really the last really good shot of keeping Kentucky from going 11-1 in this regular season. Now, that's I think that's kind of a big if. Like, I definitely could see Mike Leach and the Mississippi State defense seems to play a lot better at home, at least from the games I've seen. So I definitely think Mississippi State can win that game. But if they don't, I mean, Kentucky plays at Vandy, New Mexico State at home, and then ends the season at Louisville. And, I do think they could lose to Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Louisville, all three, you know, and end 8-4, which would be great. But if they can somehow get by Mississippi State, it becomes a huge game if you really want to derail Kentucky being able to kind of hold it over the Tennessee fan base's head that, A, we beat you 2 years in a row, and our only loss being Georgia. I mean, I don't know that I can handle an 11-1 Kentucky fan base. That would be just annoying as all get out.
I just don't think they're as good as their record.
They're
not bad.
They're definitely not. I mean, they're definitely not as good as that record. When you break down their schedule, I mean, it's like, okay, they, you know, what's their best win? Florida, who now that doesn't look nearly as good.
You could say Florida or the way they just pummeled LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, LSU just beat Florida.
I will say something for Kentucky. They've been consistent when it matters, right?
Yep.
They allowed themselves to like sleepwalk through a Chattanooga game, barely won it. But when it mattered, when it has mattered in the SEC, they've been, I think, as consistent as they've been as they can be. I don't love Mark Stoops. Talked about this a lot. I think he gets almost too much credit because Kentucky is typically so bad, and he's got them kind of to this mid-tier level. And now they're trying to kind of even raise another step up. But I did like what he said going into the Georgia game. They did an interview with him on College Game Day where he said, you know, we can't be Superman today against Georgia. Like, obviously, they're really good. We can't go into this game thinking that we have to do things we've never done before to try and compete and be in the game and then ultimately win it.
Right.
He said, but we know we have to be the best version of ourselves today. We have to play our game. We have to do what we can do. But to win, we'll have to be the absolute. And I think that's a healthy way to think about going into a game where you're the underdog. And really, that's probably how we should watch the game this week as Tennessee takes on Alabama. Like, let's just watch our guys and see, are we playing as, like, the best version we can play this week? If that's, you know, hell, Joe Milton at quarterback, a walk-on at running, you know, like, it's cliche, but a lot of these teams aren't doing that, right? Like you mentioned, LSU got destroyed against Kentucky, beats Florida, who got beat by Kentucky. It's a whole...
Yeah, well, we always say transitive property, you know, really doesn't work this time of year.
Yeah, and I think that was a bad example. But you get what I'm saying. Like, every week, those teams are completely different teams. So I would like for Josh Heupel to be able to continue to coach our team so they can show up and be consistent every single week. Because that's paramount as you try and rebuild a program. Because that's where you get into, you know, putting together a season where you can look back and sell it on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kentucky is able to go 11-1 this year, we are going to look at it and be like, God, man, they barely beat us. We didn't play very well that day. The rest of their schedule is pretty much junk. They were nowhere near beating Georgia. But you know Mark Stoops is going to be in living rooms with parents and saying, hey, we went 11-1. and other coaches are going to be battling, saying they went 9-3 or whatever, and it's going to matter. So, you know, that needs to be what Tennessee does, and hopefully Kentucky falls apart. I mean, it's, once basketball season starts, you know, things get weird there. So
I'm not going to call it a must-win, but that would be a very nice win for Josh Heupel to have in year one.
Yes.
Over Mark Stoops and this Kentucky team at Kentucky, because while we I agree with you completely, while we all kind of see Kentucky as very favorable schedule, you got all your big games at home, you seem to have somehow caught LSU and Florida on maybe their two worst nights of the year. If Tennessee can go in there, I don't really even care what it looks like. You don't have to, you know, whoop them. If you can win that game, that is a very nice. I mean, obviously, you know, when the season's over, you can point and say, look what we did to Missouri on the road. Look what we did to South Carolina. Check out the black jerseys. We were right there with Ole Miss. We were right there with Pitt. Florida game kind of got away from us. See what happens to Bama. Georgia's going to be Georgia. But if you can say, we went into, what's Kentucky ranked right now?
13.
I'm assuming if they beat Mississippi State,
they were 11.
They'll be a top 10 team. If you say we went to top 10 Kentucky and proved that, you know, when we're healthy, we're right there.
15th.
Kentucky did?
They're 15. No.
Okay. So a top 15 Kentucky.
Sure.
It'd just be a nice selling point because Tennessee's going to be in some battles. In fact, they already lost a battle with the Twins that went to Kentucky.
Coastal's 14th.
There you go. So that's a big one.
Yep.
Because the biggest thing for me right now, I love what I've seen from Tim Banks. I love what I've seen from this offense. They run the football. They play with tempo. I think they're going to be fine attracting, you know, playmakers. But recruiting moving forward, especially in the trenches, is going to kind of be the key. If you can show, because that's what, I mean, that's how Kentucky's winning this year, right? They're blocking for the run game. They got a pretty good defensive line. If you can go in there and beat those guys, I think you can win some of those battles against, you know, Kentucky, maybe Florida, probably not going to win very many against Georgia, but who knows, maybe. And that's how you're going to kind of slowly build this thing, get the depth you need to compete at a higher level. Schedule next year sets up pretty good, really. Who's the big out-of-conference game next year? Are we at Pitt next year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be without Pickett. That seems like a winnable game. You got a chance. You got a chance.
Yep. Final segment of the program. Come back at you next. Final segment of the program. It's brought to you by MyBookie. Check him out online at MyBookie.com.
Because he's MyBookie.
Set up your account. Use promo code Knoxville. We'd really appreciate supporting our sponsors, as you always do. Sign up for an account with MyBookie, no matter where you live, because you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and they'll have awesome stuff for Week 7 of the NFL. I'm sure we'll tell you more about it as the week progresses here. Take care of all the sponsors here at Fan Run Radio. It's great to see a lot of you guys out at the game on Saturday. It feels like if Heupel loses to Kentucky, it'll be kind of that weird season of, well, we had some missed opportunities. You know, probably it would have been nice, I'm assuming it will be pretty close if Tennessee doesn't get over the hump there. But it'll be kind of like, man, it would have been nice to have beaten Kentucky or Ole Miss or Pitt or Florida. You know, like, and that's assuming, obviously, with two more losses and that you're just 6-6. And you look at the schedule and it's 6-6. And you're like, yeah, we kind of beat all the bad teams. We really didn't. We lost to the really good teams, and we kind of couldn't quite get over the hump of those teams that are just a little ahead of us in their development. But it's Optimism Tuesday, and for me, you asked me earlier, like, about being more in or more out on Josh Heupel. I mean, I guess I'm not really even more in because I never was really more out. Like, he's done nothing this year that's like a major red flag.
Isn't that what you're kind of looking for, right?
I mean, there's things you can criticize people on, but then there's things that you can give them, you know, some positive, credit for that you didn't expect.
Right.
So those things are kind of both normal, and it just feels good to be normal again. Sometimes this team plays really well. Sometimes they make some poor plays, you know. But, hell, if I was an Ole Miss fan Saturday night, I'd have been pretty pissed off as Joe Milton, that ball's in the air, and it looks like Cedric Tillman might catch it because they had a bunch of dumb penalties.
Yep.
They dropped a ton of passes.
They
could
sure
have
not
won the game earlier. And then Lane Kiffin ran those three plays that gave you no shot to get the first down. You lost yardage. You didn't even run much time off the clock. And then you gave up a massive punt return that put you in that situation. Like, it's all relative. It just is. You know, if you're an Alabama fan, you're expecting to be in the playoff and competing for a national championship. You're still there, but you definitely, that A&M game was a weird scenario where it felt like Jimbo Fisher kind of out-schemed you when that's obviously something that never happens. So, I don't know. It's always, what have you done for me lately?
I just, going into year one, you look for those, right? You look for the glaring, this is going to be.
We overanalyze everything. It's like week one in a season.
Sure. I'm just saying, with Pruitt, you knew through the first few games, like, okay, unless we change this offense, the pounded into a brick wall all the time is not going to be. And that was a consistent issue.
Mm-hmm.
With Heupel, I mean, yeah, there's times, I guess, when I think he calls a run that he should have called a pass, or, you know, against Ole Miss in the second half, like, man, we kind of killed a couple drives with weird, you know, back-to-back run plays when we weren't getting much push. But for the most part, it's hard to criticize this offense when things are rolling. And not to mention, Cooper Mays was out. Did Cade come back in?
He went out, came back in, and went out again.
Okay.
I believe.
Didn't he only take like four snaps
for the whole game?
Entire game?
It wasn't many. What's awful is he got hurt on a play that never counted because they whistled for the review after the play started, which I just don't understand why.
Follow that, but.
We want another officiating thing. But no, so far, I mean, to your point, yeah, he hasn't done anything where it's like, oh my gosh, this is the coach of the future. I'm so much more bought in. But it's kind of a bunch of little things that are positive and not that many negatives. How many penalties did we have against Ole Miss? I know we had some costly ones, especially there late, but I don't think we were. I mean, that's not, I don't think what got you beat.
You had a couple bad ones.
We had 6 for 48.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like the whole. Wasn't there a holding on Alontae Taylor that extended a drive?
I thought it was on Flowers on their touchdown drive, and we backed him up after the muff punt.
Maybe that was it.
There was one there. Jeremy Banks was kind of begging for a personal foul early, but he never got one. Thank goodness.
The Carvin hold after the sack.
Yeah, that one hurt. But again, I mean, 6 penalties under 50 yards. I'll live with that based on what we were kind of fearing after a couple of those. Was it the Florida game or was it the Pitt game? It was like, 11 for 100 and something.
Pitt, you had over 100 yards.
Yeah. So that's gotten better. And then, I don't know. I mean, he's not the. Got a text yesterday. Oh, he's so boring in front of the media. Okay, but at least he doesn't sound stupid. Right?
Right, yeah.
The last two guys, you're just like, oh my gosh, what is he saying?
Mm-hmm.
Heupel's just short and to the point. Not much drama. Yeah,
a lot of coach speak, but that's, you get that with everybody.
Like, yeah, and I'm fine with that.
Like, list 5 to 10 coaches who are so much better at that, and it matters so much.
Right, yeah.
Like, there aren't out
That's
there,
the thing.
I
don't think it matters much. No, I'd say I'm more bought in. Now, that said, I think we were all cautiously optimistic, skeptical,
well, I said
pessimistic
it shouldn't
coming
be
in.
That hard to just have kind of a normal year, and I feel like this is what they've had. They've had a normal year. They came in, they said, hey, this is the way we want to play football. You can tell they're trying to ingrain that as the way to play. Like, this mm-hmm. is at Tennessee under Josh Heupel, this is the way you play offense, this is the way you play defense. Here you go. And sometimes they execute it pretty well, sometimes they struggle, sometimes they're outmanned. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they look great. Sometimes mm-hmm. Hendon Hooker had some runs on Saturday night that were really well blocked and executed perfectly. He had some others where a guy whiffed on a block and then he still made the guy miss and used his athletic
right,
ability
right.
to still gain big yardage. Like, it, I don't know. It's been wild with the swings both directions.
Yeah.
But from where I expect us to be and where we are, it's exactly the spot not hope. So that's
right.
good.
But I guess
it's all good.
It's weird. I'm glad that we're there, and I'm giving Heupel credit for that. The bar was incredibly low, so I don't want to give him too much credit, but I also don't want that to sound negative because I think he's doing a really fine job.
Yeah.
Everyone hated on Tim Banks. I think Tim Banks has done about as good as he can with what, you know, what he was dealt talent-wise and depth-wise.
You're where you wanted to be, and you know, it doesn't mean it's all going to be roses from here on out, but it also means you have a chance to get where you want to be down the road. The Blitz is next. Thanks for tuning in to Optimism Tuesday. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.